We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Today, let's consider what Jesus said, certainly with Peter in view, but also to the other disciples, this warning on the night before his death, what is recorded for us in Luke 22. Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Would we have done any better? Imagine that just a few hours before a pivotal crisis moment, confrontation, let's say, in your Christian life is about to happen, Jesus has looked you in the eye, called you by your first name, and has said these same words. Satan has sifted you. Satan has asked that he may sift you as wheat. Or to rephrase it just a bit, the devil has asked God's permission to shake you up, to pressure you with temptation in the hopes that you stop believing in Jesus. Would those words, spoken by the one who knows everything, including future events, give you pause, fill you with dread, make the hair on the back of your neck stand up? Or would we, all of us, invariably do as Peter and the other disciples did, pledge unswerving loyalty to Jesus no matter what? Let's realize that this text, both the prediction and denial by Peter, contain in his example a word of warning for all Christians, but also a word of hope. Once we realize the forces at work, who's doing what exactly behind the scenes, and how that applies to every temptation that we're going to face, first off, we identify our opponent, Satan, the real sworn enemy of God, who does not give up. He is relentless. He wants to put a target on your back and mine, just as he did with Peter. You can be sure that he'll come gunning for you and me just as soon as he knows what weakness to exploit. And if left to ourselves, if we are talking about a one-on-one confrontation, you versus the devil, you can't win. You're not strong enough. But it's not one-on-one, is it? For those who belong to Christ, isn't it 1v2? 1v3? I say three because God the Father is definitely involved in every temptation that you face. Before he can do anything against you, the devil has to run it by the Lord first. And God not only gets to say yes or no, permission granted, he even sets the limits as to how far Satan can go. How much pressure can he put on? He sets the limits so that 1 Corinthians 10 is always true. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. So when the temptation is there, also provided is a way to beat it, a way out, a way of escape. Of course, the question always arises, Will we use it? Do we use it? In Peter's case, we know that he didn't. No surprise, really, given the fact that Jesus predicted, didn't he, that the man would deny him three times? Well, did you notice something else predicted? The fact that that same man would return, recover, bounce back. This is more than just the Lord knowing the future. You should notice the Savior loving His disciple to the very end, knowing this man's vulnerability and the tenacious enemy at work, and fighting for him. Fighting for him before and after. It wasn't just the devil talking to God the Father that day. Jesus was talking too, asking His Father to keep this temptation from killing this man's faith. Now that makes the outcome hopeful. After all, how can the Father refuse His Son, asking as He does? Now, you should realize, Peter is not some special case who gets special treatment. Jesus will do the same things for everyone who belongs to Him, then or now. As with Peter, He gives you and me advance warning. In fact, Jesus has used the Apostle Peter to tell us in 1 Peter 5, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And along with such a warning, we have the rest of God's Word as weaponry, a shield and sword that does and will repel every attack of Satan, if only we use it. And when we fail to use it, you have Jesus working overtime, praying for your survival, providing for your recovery, causing your repentance. Thankfully, He doesn't leave it up to us either to resist successfully or repent effectively. No, to the wounded in battle, He sends, like a medic on the battlefield, the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit in your hearts, as with Peter, causing you to remember the Savior's words, facing your own guilt, feeling sorrow about that, but also causing you to cling to the cross of Christ as the certainty that God forgives you and you still belong to Him. So really, this battle, it's more than 1 versus 2 or 1 versus 3. It's 1 versus 4, isn't it? Against the devil, what powerful allies you have on your side. Well, you can count yourself, but that would make it a 1v1. But you got God the Father, limiting every temptation you have to face. God the Son, who arms you with His Word, prays for you, interceding for you, causing the Father to forgive you when you fall, and sending ally number 3, making it 4 total, the Holy Spirit leading you to repent. If it's 1v1, advantage Satan. We become like Judas. That's a fact we need to take quite seriously. But if we stick with our allies, advantage Christian, whoever he or she may be. That's the hope for your victory. Not your strength, but God's power. Not your faithfulness, but the triune God at work through His grace, working for you and also in you. Amen. Let us close this morning singing the first 3 stanzas of hymn 416, the first 3 stanzas.